Thank you. Good to see you all today. It's good to be here. Hope everybody's doing all right. Before we go any further, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. Wonder if there'd be any prayer requests upon anyone's heart. Let's remember the preacher at the 11 o'clock hour and Sunday school teachers. Let's remember the prayer request that's been made in the past for the sick.
The chair, Brother Leon White has his surgery the 13th of this month. They're going to try and make him a new bladder. So I'm sure he's interested in this church's prayers.
Let's remember Brother White in our prayers.
Brother Kerry, for several weeks and maybe months, I've been praying for my nephew and his wife. And they've been really going through some hard times. And I got some of my prayers answered, and I want to thank the Lord for that. I'd also like to ask the church to pray for them. You know, their marriage has been rocky, and they had two children pretty young, and they met under difficult circumstances and a lot of history there, but I know God can strengthen their marriage if they can survive this, so. And I can see him at work in it, so I'd just like to ask the church to pray for Jason and Amanda.
Just remember this as well. If there are no other prayer requests, I'll ask Brother Clemens if he would to lead us in prayer.
Teach, dear Lord, help me to teach, dear God, how to thy word, Lord. We ask, dear God, that you would help me, dear Lord, in my preaching, Lord, that you would help me to rightly divide, dear God, thy word, and present the message, dear God, in a manner that be pleasing, Lord, to thee, that y'all might grow in thy word. I pray, just be closer, Lord, to thee when we leave today and come in. We thank you, God, for all you do and for your blessings, for your watch care over each one of us, dear God, and for our health, Lord, that you've given us to be here today, Lord. We just thank you so much for all that you do. Ask your God that you forgive us, Lord, our sins. Help us to do more for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our devotional background study today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 1 through 18. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and gave thanks, and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed, and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples, and came unto the parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth, and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit, and saith, Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than 1 loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, at this time I'll ask teachers to take charge of the class.
Sometimes when I study a lesson, I get overloaded with information, and then when I look at it, you know, I have no clue what I'm studying. It's just, I shouldn't do that. I know, but I should just pick one reference for us and then just go on. So if I want to hear it, it's kind of, then get back. Today's lesson comes from the 8th chapter of Mark. And it starts with the 19th verse, which is at the end of what Harry just read. But I want to back up just a little bit and talk about what has just occurred. Because we find Jesus getting a little snippy here. And you don't think of him you always read about him being love and forgiving. You don't necessarily think about him getting just a little aggravated and just a little cranky, I guess, with his apostles. But we find that here. Terry's reading it now, trying to figure out where that is. They just been around a multitude of people. And here again, there wasn't sufficient food. There wasn't any planning on this. And there wasn't enough food to feed these people. And so we find that Jesus performed his second miracle of feeding a large multitude of people. In this case, it was 4,000. And if you read over in another book, you find where that was men only. So how many was there when you count the women and the children is it was a lot of people. As a matter of fact, I was reading this article and it was pretty interesting. It said that at either one of these miracles, there was more people attending them than there was in the population of a lot of the little cities that was around about where he was at. It said the population of a little city around the area that Jesus was at this time had about 1,000 to 1,500 people in it. And here he was talking to above 4,000 people. So the multitude was very large. And I'll hit on that a little later. We'll start reading in the 19th verse. Well, let me read the 18th because Terry ended up. He ended that with a question from Jesus. Having eyes, see you not, and having ears, hear you not, and do you not remember? Now, that he's asked the question, do you not remember? But here he is, he's getting a little testy with his apostles because Jesus is trying to teach these people. Now, the purpose of these gatherings is not necessarily a healing service. It is a coming together where Jesus presents his message that he has about concerning salvation. But obviously, with people in need, Jesus has compassion on them, and he heals some of these people. And we'll read about one of these in a minute, and I might present you a little different take on that. But so anyway, his disciples have listened to Jesus, and Jesus has told them to take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And so they're arguing amongst themselves, was he talking about bread? And so you find that Jesus begins to get a little angry at their shallow thoughts that they have concerning what he's been talking about, because he's been talking about the spiritual things and they're quirking about physical things. And so he says, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Because they said, well, maybe he's telling us to beware of the leaven because we don't have any bread, and that's not it at all. He's warning them on a deeper issue to beware of their hypocrisy and their secularism. And he's telling them to beware of that and not be caught up in it. And so he asks a question. He says, do you not remember? And then a lesson starts. When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? They said unto him, 12. And you find that in the 6th chapter of Mark, where he entreated 5,000 men plus women and children. And when they got through eating and everybody was full, he said, he's asking his apostles now, how many baskets were left over? And they said 12. So he had furnished enough food to feed all of these people, and there was food left over. So he's asking them, all right, how many was left over? Do you remember that? How many? And he said, well, there's 20. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, seven. And he said unto them, how is it you do not understand? I'm paraphrasing how he asked that, but I'm thinking that he's getting a little ill about the situation because they're not following where he's going with his teachings. And he says, how is it that you do not understand what I'm talking about? Now, I'll tell you what the issue is. The issue is hypocrisy and secularism. The issue is between the spiritual world, the spiritual aspect of the body, and the physical aspect of the body. And that's what these people, and even the apostles, were not understanding the difference between what the two is. And people want to hear today about the physical aspect because they do not understand the spiritual aspect. That's where we all stand today in this world just about, is the people do not understand the spiritual side of Jesus. And I don't think anybody can understand it unless you've been saved. And then you have to be taught. You have to come and you have to feel the Spirit. You have to, not just that time when you look down and save your soul, but you have to be a part of it to keep it going, to know and understand what it is that the Spirit does for God's people. And so that's what he's trying to get across, but they're fighting. They just do not understand it. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and he's gone to this town, small town. And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hand upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Now, why do you think that Jesus healed this guy, this man, and then told him to tell anybody? Well, I'm going to give you my take on it. And I don't know if I'm right or not, but I give you my take on it anyway. And you can go with it or not, whatever you want. But I have to believe that this multitude of people that were following after Jesus were not just following after him to hear his message. A lot of them, and yea, maybe most of them, were following him because they were seeing him do miracles, things that they thought that maybe that he could heal somebody with them or do something in their lives. So I'm thinking that he knew that these people were not necessarily wanting to listen to the message. And I'll read you a scripture here in a little bit that I think backs that up. They were not necessarily wanting to listen to what he had to say. They were wanting to be there to witness what he did. And because he was someone that had come along, that had professed to be the Son of God, and there was a multitude that followed him from place to place. And I understand that. I'm sure that there were several people that were saved following after him. But there were also a lot of people that were there just for the show. That may not be the proper word, but they were just there to be there. And so he told this guy, he healed him, but he said, don't go telling people that I have healed you of your sight. Because he knew what would happen. Multitudes would come. I mean, people would just flock from everywhere if they knew that he had healed this guy. And what would they have flocked to him for? Not for the message that he was putting forth, but they would flock to him because they would want to be healed. I believe. That's my thing. And he did this a couple times. He healed a few more people that you read about in the scriptures, and he told them not to tell. And I just think it was because he knew the people would look at him different. They would look at him for his healing aspect and not for the message. And the message is everything. The message that Jesus brought with him when he was on this earth is everything. The healing is nothing. The healing of his physical body is nothing. The message that Jesus brought is what makes everything worthwhile. That's something that the message, hearing and believing that message, is what will go with you into eternity. So it's the message that is the important thing. Now, in the sixth chapter of John, we find I told you I was going to tell you about people leaving. Brother Barry spoke on this the other night about Catholicism and treating their disciples to believe that their priest can create a miracle each time they perform the Lord's Supper. By miracle, they say that they can turn the bread into his actual flesh and the wine into his actual blood. Now, Jesus speaks of this, and Barry brought this out the other Sunday night. In the sixth chapter of John, he speaks on, this is Jesus, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Now, what's he talking about here? You see, here we go to the spiritual aspect again. Here we are back talking about spiritual things. We're not talking about literal things. We're talking about spiritual things. And if you've been saved today, you have, so Jesus says, you've eaten of his flesh and drank of his blood because you have experienced salvation through his shed blood. And that's spiritual. Has nothing to do with the literal drinking and eating of his blood. Now, listen to what it says. It says that when he taught this, the people said, this is a hard thing to understand. I just can't understand that. Now, see, there's people today, I'm telling you, there's people today that cannot understand the spiritual aspect of Jesus. Now, we're going to get into that a little more in just a minute. But these people, 2,000 years ago, said, I can't understand this. This is a hard thing. And this is what it said. In the 66th verse of the 6th chapter of John, it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They weren't there to hear the message. They were there because of the miracles. And they were there because of the crowd. And they said, well, we can't understand this. We don't know what he's talking about. He's talking about this, and we can't understand it. So many, many, the scriptures say, went back. They left. And that's what Jesus was telling this man. You know, don't go tell him about giving your sight back. Don't spread that around. Just let's be low-key about this. I've got my message I want to get out. I don't want a multitude of people coming out here and everybody in the war or wanting to be healed. I'm paraphrasing all that, but that's what I think. I think he had a message. That was the most important thing that he wanted to give out. And that message, understand, turned a lot of people away. And you know, today it turns a lot of people away. Today, people still don't understand the message. You know, if you ask somebody, what do you think it means to repent? What kind of answer are you going to get? You're going to get a slew of answers of what that definition is. So anyway, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, who do men say that I am? Now this is a question he put to his apostles, his 12 with him. Who do men say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and others, one of the prophets. And you read somewhere else in the scriptures where they say that some people say that he is Jeremiah. But he said, and he said unto them, but whom say ye? Now see, he's not asking in general. He's getting pointed here. He's looking at his apostles. He's saying, who do you, not who do they, not who they, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ. And he opened the door. Peter knew who he was. There's people today who know the name of Jesus, but they don't know who he is. They don't have an idea of who Jesus is. Jesus asked, and Peter answered for me. He said, thou art the Christ, meaning the anointed one, meaning the Messiah. And he charged them that they should tell no man, because he wanted his message to go out to whomever it was, and for them to spiritually understand who he was. Now, I'm going to go back over into the 6th chapter of John. I'm going to read you one thing that I stopped. Because when I read to you that from that time many of his disciples went back and walked more with him, I think he got a little discouraged. And he asked his apostles another question. He said, then Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? People were leaving him because of unbelief. They couldn't grasp what it was that he had said. And these multitudes began to fade away. And Jesus turned to his apostles and he said, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Who shall we turn to? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter knew that. His apostles knew that. Now, if you've been saved, you understand. You understand that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the anointed. You understand that through him only can you ever repent and be saved. You all understand that. Will you go away? Peter said. Where shall we go? Who shall we turn to? because life has the word of eternal life, and we believe and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do you say that he is? Who do you say that he is? Is he that Christ? Or is he just some man that you read in books and you hear people talk about? Who do you say he is? I believe if we've been saved by his merciful grace, we know exactly who he is. And there's no doubt, there's no question in our mind that we believe that he is who he says he is, the Son of God. And I'm thankful for that this day. Thankful that he has shown us who he is. Now, in another scripture, you find out what Jesus told Peter when he asked who the people say that I am. And Peter told him, says, you're Christ, you're the Messiah. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Here we go with the spiritual aspect again. You see, it wasn't the flesh and blood Jesus that was standing there. This was coming from God himself, who let Peter know. That's the spiritual part of it, see. The world does not understand that part of Jesus. But Jesus told him, blessed are you, Simon, because my Father in heaven is who revealed that to you. And so we find that we know who Jesus is, but even better than that, Jesus knows who we are. Isn't that great to look up to Jesus this morning and him know who you are? Now, in the 27th verse of the 10th chapter of John, and I'll be through. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I know him because I heard his voice when I was 7 years old. Speak peace to my soul. And I know his voice today. It may not be an oral, out loud voice that we hear through our ears, but it's something that we hear through our heart.
Amen.
And through his spirit. I know when he's speaking. I know it. I'll tell you sometime how I know it. My heart beats so hard I feel like I'm fixing to pass out sometime. And you can't tell me that's not Jesus talking to me, telling me what he wants me to do. And I'm thankful for that because that gives me that knowledge of who he is. Just like Peter knew who he was, I do too. I don't always follow him, and I ask forgiveness. But I thank God for that spirit and for the salvation of my soul. Anybody have anything they want to say?
What do you think his name was? He put his hand on his eyes, and the first time he looked up, he said,
you know, I read about that, and I wondered why he didn't just put his hands on his eyes and just, you know, he's capable of doing that. And I never really come up with a good answer, so there must have been a lesson there somewhere that I had missed. The commentary that I was reading said it shows patience. I don't know about that. I don't know why he did that. I mean, he could just as easily just.
I guess it was his way of letting the guy know, look, I'm doing this for you. You might even think, well, I really can't see clearly yet. Then he healed him and told him not to go tell anybody.
Yeah.
And maybe gave the blind guy another one opportunity to have a faith to
fly. Well, you know, Jesus was looking. but I don't really think he was playing with him. I think there was a lesson there that I just don't understand.
It says in verse 22 that they brought the blind man to him. So the blind man didn't say the blind man wanted somebody to bring to him. So they're like, hey, he's blind, so bring him over. So the blind man might not have known what's going to happen. And he's like, hey, you can see a little bit. For real?
Well,
I can heal you all the way if you believe.
Maybe so. That's a good point.
I think he got it to make a better impression.
Well, that's kind of what she said.
Something flashed across her mind. It didn't quite right. It does it again. It's at 40.
Yeah.
It really impressed it.
You may be right there, Sonny. But you know, as I was reading that, I thought about saying, well, how do you do it? Because, you know, when we're saved, they ain't no, you know, you get a little bit here and you know, you have to do something and get a little bit more there. It happens, it's the pain, and it's as much as you ever want to get, and ain't going to be no more.
It's a big dose.
It's a full dose.
Sure is.
Yes, sir.
It's one in four for it.
That's right.
Never look for it again.
There ain't no going back and getting bits and pieces. It's all there. So maybe what y'all have hit upon is correct. Maybe he was wanting to instill this, make it more impressive in his mind. But I really don't know. I don't know anyone else.
But Jesus healed some lepers one time. And 10 of them, one of them come back here to thank you. He said, where's the other 9?
Yeah.
That's human nature.
That's what I was just fixing to say, and that's just human nature. That's exactly right. We're the most unappreciative beings on this earth.
Our company furnished y'all, every department, the coffee pot and the cream and sugar and all year. I make a point once a year to get the manager going across the yard. Hey, wait a minute there. I'd like to thank for our coffee and the cream and sugar. Once a year, I make a point to thank him.
Yeah.
No.
And we probably, I'll stop talking about myself. I don't thank God enough for saving my soul. Well, I'll do that. Minute by minute, thank God for saving my soul. Anyone else? Jamie, would you?